show on BBS Radio.
Long weekend coming up.
Yes, that's right. We
in Toronto.
Long weekend. Yep,
that's right.
And for Canada, I'm not talking about the I think it's just a Canadian one, though, if I'm not mistaken. Gloria Day. So before we even get started here, let me just announce some phone numbers here for our listeners, for people in the USA and Canada that want to get a hold of you and speak with us. It's 1-888-228-4494. And for those anywhere else in the world, whether it be in Europe or in India or anywhere for that matter, you can call us at 1-877-489-6350. So last week we finished, I think we were finishing on speaking about relationships. I think we were going to continue from there, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, do that. And if anybody wants to call in, I've got my program ready so we can instantly compare the charts and what's happening in life right now also.
Excellent.
You know, some of the things that we had made, some of the questions we had made, Michael, I have that thing right in front of me. It was quite interesting, I thought.
Yeah, that's a great...
I'm just going to read up some of them and you can see. And
great format.
About palmistry, I was saying, what do the lines of the hands mean? And we had some of the questions from people also. Is there any purpose for them? Why do they mostly change on the hand that you write with? What does it mean if you have a long lifeline and a line of Heptica Karsidov? How do you read age on your hands? And then also, does Moon in Cancer on the day when John Benet, right? Tragedy happened.
John Benet, yeah, the young girl.
Yeah, does that tell us something about the perpetrator? And were there two people involved and what was their personality? Does Mars transiting her fourth house mean anything? Why do we feel that Marilyn Monroe died in an ambulance and that she was brought back to the house? What was Robert Kennedy's chart showing at that time? All that and much more will be discussed in this thing, in our shows, in Astro Insights. And
so let's start with the best
knowledge of both astrology and palmistry, actually.
Yeah, let's start with actually the palmistry questions there. What was it about the lifeline? And
yeah, you know, Michael, you know, you are fantastic as an astrological investigator. You're fantastic at research. And many of these things like biography and the documentaries, the channels that we hear, I was thinking we should start putting some of these things together.
Mm-hmm.
Like in John Lennon's chart, what happened that day, for example, whether assassinations or other crimes. We'll put a little bit of that as well.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think we like John Benet, for example. Like so many children who have Leo rising, because Leo gives a very nice personality, very charismatic personality, like in Princess, in Marilyn Monroe's case. But it also puts Scorpio near the third and fourth house.
Mm-hmm.
There's always some aspect of life and death situations near the home, because Scorpio indicates, that's why I tell people if they live near a graveyard or a cemetery, that offsets the theme.
I see.
So in Marilyn Monroe's case, she died at home. And he was like a suicide, they said, or whatever it was, for example, the criminal aspect. But that's the Scorpio theme. In John Benet, also at home, in the basement, in fact, that's definitely a Scorpio theme.
Mm-hmm.
And now, on that day, when we said with Moon is in Cancer, Cancer indicates somebody who's like a mother figure. I don't think it was her mom. I'm quite positive it wasn't a mom. But there was another person, so somebody who's matronly, who was in that party, because Moon is in an 11th house that day. 11th house indicates in that party when there's a family gathering. So somebody
right.
who she knew and who almost was like a mother figure for her.
Well, they had a nanny, if I'm not mistaken, didn't they?
That's right. Yes, they did.
Mm-hmm.
So my suspicion was on that aspect to some extent, you know. I don't see all of that, but it's too gruesome for her. But there was another one right here in Toronto, remember, near the Hyde Park. I forget that lady's name, that girl's name. Holloway. Remember Holloway?
Oh,
she had exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I spoke to her mother and I found she also had Leo rising. Very nice personality and all. And Scorpio in the third, fourth house. Maybe that's the reason why they become famous also, even
through their death.
But we'll discuss some of these themes also, and which days are more dangerous. Like every time Moon is in Scorpio, it's a dangerous time. And even you'll find the violent movies come out, like on those days. Like when Moon is in Libra, the next 2-3 days, for example. In fact, I think it's going to Scorpio very soon. Let me just have a look where... Moon is in Libra today and tomorrow. It's an aspect of peace, and it's a beautiful aspect, actually, for harmony and peace. But as soon as it goes... By the way, there's another thing which is very interesting. Every time Mars is in a fire sign, there are major wildfires. When it's in Aries, Sagittarius, or Leo. It just went into Leo just a few days ago, and it's wildfires down in Florida.
No kidding.
It is so strange, you know?
Yeah, it's actually strange to the point. It's believable, and it's actually, it's really...
It's more than just a coincidence. That's right, yeah. Now, I believe, you see, now most astrologers say, for example, that somehow planets are not affecting, but they're reflecting, like a clock, for example. It's just reflecting this aspect, but there's too much of... To me, I don't think it's just a reflection aspect. They're all connected so strongly. The Earth's magnetic field, as an engineer, it bothers me that we don't know the full answer, but I believe that the geomagnetism, because it's constantly changing, we know that for a fact, that the Earth doesn't have its own magnetic field, and it's induced field by the sun, just like all the planets get the field also from the sun, except for Jupiter, which almost seems to behave like a star itself, and radiates almost twice as much energy as it receives from the sun, and like an independent star almost. But as all these planets, when they are in a square configuration or a certain configuration, there was an RCA engineer, I'll find out the exact information, he had predicted many of these weather storms based on that aspect planet. He found a very interesting coincidence. I mean, like a synchronicity, where when the planets were a certain configuration, and he was able to predict all the storms and radio storms and radio interferences just based on that. So there's a physical phenomenon out there, because when we are born, there's it doesn't take so much like whatever that geomagnetism was at that time. We represent that energy, and that never changes, and it never repeats itself. The Earth's magnetism is constantly changing; every minute is changing directly in relation to the planets, because all these planets, for example, they're cutting the flux with the Earth, and they're also being induced. So as they move, the geomagnetism also keeps changing, and that must be a somehow reflecting this aspect. We translate that into the personality, but we have magnetism also. We have electrical energy also within our brain and all that. Also,
absolutely.
We generate actually.
Absolutely.
And there are certain things I'm sure in about 4 or 5 years' time they'll probably find all kinds of reasons why. So our purpose, first of all, is not to make philosophical only things, but actual real events. When the real, for example, every time Moon touches off Saturn, for example, people feel extremely run down and tired. In fact, if you could somehow measure the red blood cell production, the erythrocytes, for example, you'll find that it's much retarded at that time. And how do we know this? Because when people are born with it, they're anemic. So they lack iron. But everybody becomes anemic for about 2 to 4 hours, about 4 times a month.
And this
so every time Moon touches off their Saturn. Everybody goes to that when Moon touches off Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
If Saturn touches off Moon, for 1 year you become like that.
But it depends so for each person, for each person, it depends on when it touches,
where the Moon was in their chart when they were born. And when that's touched off by Saturn, or where Saturn was, that Moon touches off for about 2-3 hours, whereas Saturn touches off for almost like a 6 months or a year. Yeah.
Okay.
So Moon is going to Scorpio, for example, May 17th. In fact, 17 is an 8 number. That's something, in numerology, I only find 3 or 4 numbers important, that's all, nothing else. Like 7, 8, and 9, basically.
Okay.
And 8 is a very Scorpio number, and anything which adds up to 8, even the evening, 8 o'clock in the evening, for example. And anyone who has that type of aspect, I suggest to them to buy a garnet ring, almost the color of blood, and to wear it on the hand that they write with on the little finger of communication. Now, we were talking about the hand, by the way, that which hand do you read, first of all? The hand that you write with is the one that keeps changing. Because whenever you are thinking about all your future goals and you're writing down something, for example, so all your thoughts are being influenced. And I'm like, all your thoughts are the ones which actually influence these lines. So the more neurotic a person is, the more lines you have. That's on one of the shows. It was one of these feminist channels. They were getting upset at me, but it was one of my best shows also. And I was saying that the women had more lines on the hand, not because they think more, but they think more uselessly. But I did not mean a chauvinistic way or anything. And I left the punchline to the end. And I told them, I said, listen, three of the best books in palmistry are written by men, for men. It's written by Benham, Constant Jackman, or Caro. And all three wrote, if you have lots of lines in your hands, you're neurotic. But I was saying that it's quite normal if you're a woman. Maybe we are the ones who drive them crazy, or because they're children, because whatever, they take things much more personally. But women have generally many, many more lines, and they're called, so crisscrossing each other. And whereas men have fairly clear hands. If a woman has a clear hand, she's an exceptionally clear-headed woman. If a man has lots of lines, he's truly neurotic. But for a woman to have a lot of these lines, it's quite normal. And so these lines are affected by our thoughts. And that's why when you pray, that you can never underestimate the power of prayers, because prayers directly affect your thinking. Mm-hmm. So prayers affect your thinking. Thinking affects the lines. In other words, prayers directly affect the lines of the hands.
So it's the hand that you write with. It's the hand that you write with that is.
That's right. That one changes. The other one doesn't change. For people who are ambidextrous, for example, there's one hand that you write with. You may do all of that. You may play tennis with the other hand, for example. The hand that you write with, it's a thought. It's a thought pattern which creates these lines in the first place.
So
now, you'll find that people who are, for example, pianists or violinists, they'll have more lines. The more sensitive you are. Mm-hmm. Farmers will have less lines, fewer lines, for example.
Okay.
Like, your father is a very down-to-earth person.
Right.
He doesn't take things seriously in this aspect, and, he'll grow herbs and do the gardening, for example, and he's not just, like, traumatized by little events.
Right.
So he'll have very clear hands.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, your mom will have more lines, because she's constantly
mm-hmm.
thinking.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I have so
many. So when Moon goes into Scorpio, by the way, May 17, 18, 19, people have to be very careful. You'll have violent situations all around the world. Now, at a world level, every time Moon goes into Scorpio, people will be reminded of life and death situations. For example, when Princess Diana passed away, it was like a sudden shock to so many people. It's strange that in China, like, almost 20,000 people have died. But it's like life goes on for other people, you know. So it's very sad. 20,000 people. And yet when Princess Diana suddenly passed away, Moon was in Scorpio at that time. And people, now the full effect of the China thing will come out on 17th. 17th, 18th, 19th. That is a very dangerous time. So if these people get to them beforehand, they'll be very lucky. Because unfortunately that's very strong after life and death. When at her funeral, Moon was in Scorpio. Ironically, when she wrote her last will, Moon was in Scorpio. And interestingly, her 10th house is Scorpio. 10th house is fame.
Right.
So when Moon was in Scorpio in her 10th house, she was writing her will. So when she wrote the will, it was supposed to become famous one day. And when she passed, the Moon was in Leo, actually. It's like a monarchy and like a princess and all that. But at her funeral, Moon was in Scorpio. And more than a billion people watched her. Same thing with Trudeau. Moon was in Scorpio at her funeral. King Hussein, Moon in Scorpio at his funeral. And JFK Jr., same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting, there was an 800-mile huge storm in Florida when it was coming up. It really scared people, so about 1 or 2 million people had to be evacuated. That's all Moon, that was also Moon in Scorpio. That's why I tell people, whenever Moon is in Scorpio, you know, if you live near a cemetery or something, that offsets the theme.
Right. It offsets the theme for dangerous events happening in
their lives. That's right. Like today and tomorrow, for example, is a fantastic time for love matters, for engagement rings, for anything which has to do with peace, harmony, for peace treaties. That's a Moon Libra theme.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll keep on discussing these type of things also. But I just thought that some of these major events, like this DC Madam, for example,
mm-hmm.
I saw her chart, by the way. She did have Mercury in Pisces. I don't think she committed suicide, unfortunately. I think the whole thing was a setup.
I think so.
And there were too many people involved. And
how about the other guy there, the one from the
CIA thing? Roland Connor.
Yeah, it was Roland or something. Yeah.
Definitely there, because he had that same day he was taking something against the VP. he was taking out some major important documents and all that.
Right.
And they first of all denied that he wasn't even in the intelligence, and he had been in intelligence. For even the intelligence union, for example, he was there for like 5,000 members. He was the president for the last several years.
Okay.
In February, he was retiring. He retired, actually. But this whole thing is just set up. But unfortunately, both that DC madam and him, they both had a Mars-Neptune aspect on that day as well. Now, the Mars-Neptune, just like in Princess Diana, same thing with JFK Jr., same thing with Madam Monroe. So we'll never know the truth. That the Mars-Neptune aspect is always there are shady circumstances.
Hmm.
And when people are born with it, so the whole generation was going through that. Just one day after, said each other.
Hmm. Very interesting. And both of them had Mars and Neptune aspect.
That's right. Exactly the same. Mars was touching off the Neptune. So, I mean, it is possible that they definitely were in a position that they could have been set up. The whole thing was set up. It's quite possible. But it is also possible they did. Like in his case, for example, he probably did reach for his cell phone, for example, and while he was coming out, so they shot him in the back, for example. Sounds very strange that they tried to deny it and all that kind of thing, but it is quite possible because misunderstandings do happen when there's Mars-Neptune aspect.
Yeah.
On her case, for example, she didn't want to really kick that chair, for example, but she did. Last minute, I mean, she was desperate. She didn't even have $5 with her. They had frozen all the accounts, everything.
Yeah, she was with her mom, I guess, when it happened, apparently.
Yeah, but that fellow in Austria, for example, remember, who had seven children from his own daughter?
Yeah.
He killed five of them, and his, there was some other news that he, I think he was one of the persons who asked about five of them. It was just in today's news or yesterday's news. Really, really,
really?
Strange, you know. Yeah, to say, save them the shame of the thing or something. It may be unrelated to that. Maybe another one that they said that he had put all the money in the stock market or something. He lost everything. So to save them the shame of poverty and everything, he killed his parents, the 7-year-old daughter, and his in-laws also.
Yeah, I think that's somebody else. I think that's
yeah,
the,
yeah. But it also happened to be Austrian, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's
no, but it's. It's like you were saying about the mysterious happenings there between the DC madam and the other one. I was reading something on the web, and one journalist made a good comment. He said, yeah, it was like the death of, and I can't remember who the person was, but somebody else died of an apparent suicide, according to the media. And the journalist's remarks were, yeah, he says, I don't know too many people that commit suicide that are able to stab themselves 32 times and throw themselves in the water. So
exactly.
This person was stabbed 32 times and was found in the water.
You know, I used to feel very, very sad. I mean, even my own class, because I have like 15,000 clients around the world. Those are the ones we have basically the records of and all. But how many people can we babysit? And that's why I started my personalized newsletter. That's how we started the reports. It took me 6 months to write that 12-month reports, all the things that go in it. This is one of the reports. We have like five different reports. But that is precisely exactly the one. To write in all the 6,000 paragraphs that go in it, yes.
Yeah,
all the different combinations.
All of the information and knowledge you have in the reports, and all of the reports combined, that's years and years of knowledge.
And the 12-month book, I said, because it gives a precise date exactly when certain things, like for example, in Princess Diana, it said, even my report said, the scandals of pregnancy. I'm quite positive that she was actually pregnant. I think they did hit that fact. And quite positive.
Yeah, there was some talk about that, but then they said...
They would never reveal that aspect that she was actually pregnant. I mean, that's too much of... especially for British people, as you know, the monarchy.
Yeah, it's too much
would never want to.
For the Queen to handle.
No, they couldn't that at all. But that aspect of Mars Neptune days, but it also, she had a major action configuration on that time. There was a Mars Saturn as well. There was a Mars Jupiter, which make people very confident and make them... speed up, for example, she wasn't even wearing a seatbelt.
Mm-hmm.
But interesting, at the same time, she had a Jupiter-Moon aspect, which is a tremendous amount of public response. And, of course, more than a billion people watched her all around the world. So the fame was there, but for, like, negative reason. Moon was right on top of the chart in her 10th house. She was more famous even during her funeral.
Yeah.
That aspect.
But
when people are really famous after death, that's the Moon right on top in Scorpio.
Mm-hmm.
And at the bottom was Saturn. So she definitely was trying to keep a low profile. Media was saying that, no, she was just making it up. No, but it was very true that she did want to keep a low profile.
No, that I
and I personally don't think, by the way, I personally don't think that Prince Charles, anybody was involved at all. But I do believe that the British intelligence and the French intelligence for sure were involved, I believe.
Mm-hmm. So
that's an indication for Astro Insights, a theme of politics going on.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask one quick question. When you said earlier about how these next few days are good for people who are just getting into a relationship or engaged or whatever. So people who are getting married this weekend, is that a good thing? It's a good thing then, I guess, for people getting married.
Very positive today and tomorrow, yes. When Moon is in Scorpio, I don't recommend people.
I see.
I don't recommend, when it's in Scorpio, because it's a little too passionate.
Right.
But when Moon is in Scorpio, it's just too passionate. It's not something, it's like an animal passion. You don't start something with that.
Mm-hmm.
And, Michael, maybe you can give out the numbers. In the meantime, I'll quickly say little prayers with my daughters.
Let's all our friends and listeners that are in the U.S. or in Canada, if they want to give us a call, they can reach us at 1-888-228-4494. And for those listening to us anywhere else in the world, they can call us at 877-489-6350. And also, I know there's some people that don't want to call in. They don't want to be on the air. They don't want to be heard. So for anybody who might want to call Hassan and speak with him after the program, he can be reached at area code 416-497-9000. Or you can reach him also by email at stargaze@astrotrends.net. So those are our numbers. So for all the listeners, all the people who are listening to us tonight, don't be shy. Pick up the phone. Give us a call. Ask us whatever questions you may have. And we're going to go back to Hassan now and see what were you having a look at there, Hassan? You checking some charts?
Okay, I'm back.
I was saying, Matt, that maybe we were looking at some charts to see...
Oh, yes.
Relationships. Yes. So, yeah, let's touch a little bit on the relationships. So people who, like I was saying, may get engaged at this time or get into a new relationship, it's a good time when Moon is in Libra, right?
Very good time for a partnership, for a relationship. When Moon is in Leo, they have the most dramatic, the best presence they get, usually. Or real, ego aspect. But things do work out really well. When Moon is in Leo, it's one of the best aspects of the drama, theater, as opposed to Moon in Virgo. And I've seen the Academy Awards when they were Moon in Virgo, and it was totally didn't have that class at all. Or there was some major sad news in the world around that time.
Mm-hmm.
It offset that. But it's so interesting, you know. And you know, Michael, all it has to do, I personally believe, is besides the planets also, it's actually the Sun's position with respect to the Earth. That's all it is. Like 21st March, for example, when Sun goes into Aries, and that fresh energy, and people who are born on the sign of Aries, you can see that with them. Mm-hmm. They're like pioneers, and suddenly it's a bit of a me-first attitude, but they're impulsive, impatient, they want something, they want it right away. It's like a little candle which is always burning. And but like the birth of a child, like Einstein had Mercury in the sign of Aries, even though he was a Pisces. But his genius was that he kept thinking like a child all his life, as he said himself.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly, when there's a certain amount of Virgo, and that's the distance of the Sun to the Earth. So and this may have to do with the magnetism of the Earth that is continuously changes. And for example, the Virgo part of the zodiac, which is to us is fixed. We do not go by the Eastern method, like the Indian method, for example. There, because of the precessional equinox, every 2,200 years, it keeps on going back one sign. Like Madonna would be like Mickey Mouse, you know, like very shy and all that, and that's not true at all. So people who are born on the sign of Aries, they'd be Pisces from their system, for example. So it keeps on shifting back one sign, and it doesn't make sense whatsoever at all. Like when you actually see the people's personality, it doesn't make sense at all. Even though the transits, the timing would be similar. And one other thing they do, which I personally do not agree with at all, there is a very fatalistic thing. When you're 45 years, 6 minutes, and 5 seconds old, you'll be, with God, for example, at that time, you'll be with Bhagwan. So, it's very predestined type. It is like that. If you can even predict death like that, then there's no use to astrology. Like, what can you do with it then? How can you use it? So I'm not into that fatalistic aspect. To me, that's totally blasphemous. We look at how we can offset this theme. There's a negative aspect. For example, one of my clients, she has a Mars-Uranus conjunction, and also coming up, and also Mars aspect to Neptune. And I told her there's a bit of a nightmare theme going on, but something dramatic, something theatrical for that part, for our electronics aspect, because Uranus is very positive. And she got a $70,000 bill from income tax. That's a nightmare theme.
Wow.
And about 2 days later, her friend bought her this $12,000 system, this Pioneer Elite, and all these aspects, you know, completely opposite. So that's a Mars in Leo theme, real grandiose aspect, and touching off Uranus, which is the electronic aspect. So it does make sense a lot, you know. So it's a positive of offsetting themes. She had both aspects going on.
Well, it's too bad that the positive was a little bit less than the negative, but at least something positive.
Yeah, and the negative thing doesn't have to continue also, you know, because it might be, because she gave like $30,000 and these people gave her $110,000 receipt or something, you know, that these charities know how they are.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And suddenly they, apparently they, that company is in trouble with the government or something.
Yeah,
it's quite interesting, yes.
So,
but whenever you start something, in the beginning of that aspect lies the end result as well. Whenever you start something, if you start something under a fraudulent aspect or shady aspect, it always, when it bears a fruit, for example, then you're in trouble with the law, et cetera, as well.
Yes, I believe that 100%.
Yeah.
But, how about now let's look up for learning. So, children.
By the way, people are born in the 60s. You know, everybody who was born in the 60s right now, they're in that nightmare configuration. Which Britney Spears generation, the 70s generation, was going through in October, November, December, right till about February. And Keith Ledger died under the transit. And when he he was in so much stress, he was only getting 2-3 hours of sleep. And the last thing that he did, he was very, very sensitive. He was an Aries, but he had only 3-4 planets in Pisces. And he was doing this villain's role, that Joker. But mentally, it was very challenging for him, and psychologically very damaging, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And really took a toll on him.
Yeah, I guess.
And so the 60s age group is going through that right now. They've got to be very careful. Any fraud, anything stolen goods, for example, or when they get caught, for example, it's very strange, a spiritually very draining aspect, too.
Mm-hmm. And how long does that last?
And only about like a week or so.
Okay.
And for some people, it might continue to about mid-June, depending on what part of 60s, if you're born late 60s or early 60s, you see, that you know, makes a difference. The late 50s and early 60s are going through it right now, and the late 60s will be going through it about end of May, beginning of June. Like Obama, for example, he's going through that nightmare period right now, even though he's got some good aspects too, because overall he's got two negative things till June. One of them is Saturn touching off his moon, which makes people feel a bit depressed, a bit disappointed, you feel a bit betrayed. So he probably is feeling that moon also represents mother figures. That's probably Hillary.
Right.
So that is on that. But he's got planets right on top, of course. Like her planets at the bottom, so there's absolutely no way she'll come in. And, of course, which are the people who are pulling the strings, of course, and they are even Bushes right now, halfway around the world. That's all kind of nonsense again, that, you know, we should never speak to these leaders of the other countries who are terrorists. For example, we call them terrorists. We go there, bomb them, put a million tons of bombs there, displace a million people, and call them terrorists for saving themselves. I mean, it's so interesting, you know, how these people try to, it's like a war machinery there. And that, and oil conglomerates, of course, and that's what McCain is writing on. And now, instead of 100 years, suddenly he's saying by 2013, they're saying that the truth will be back. That's not what he said. He said there'll always be a presence of America there. And who's the one who starts with the Iran thing again? That same real crook, fraudulent person, backed up by all these people, Joseph Lieberman. Exactly what he did with the Iraq war. Same thing. Can you believe it? Just last week, that there was this thing. It went 97-0. Even the Democrats voted for it. That to against Iran. Iran is meddling with Iraq. 65% of Iraqis are Shia, same as Iran. They have relatives there, back and forth. And they do not, and they were going to prove that there were all kinds of these weapons found from Iran. And they found it was nothing. So the Maliki government actually refused to go along with them. They are making their own investigation, which is a big blow to America, of course. And then their general head, General Petraeus, he had said, they said that he would also show these weapons, and there was nothing. They found there wasn't Iranian at all. So they were totally mistaken. In the meantime, this warmongers and Joseph Lieberman, he has this bill passed in Congress, 97-0, based on this aspect, no. But you see, America is born with that. In America's independence chart, I mean, this chart, we have, they have Mars Neptune square. They're born with that aspect. And Mars Neptune is right from psychic fraud, like you have these people like, you know, totally demonic charts like Sylvia Brown and all.
Right.
You know, make a total mockery of the whole system. That's our Mars Neptune aspect too. $50,000 for one lecture, can you believe it? Now her son also started $400-$500 for psychic readings or something, you know.
Well, sure. She can probably have her son or other children and grandchildren.
Like she said in that aspect, you know, that she said, that's why, I mean, I thought it was interesting that Randy completely exposed her in this aspect. You know, she said, all these miners, she said, oh yeah, don't worry, they'll all be found. And everybody was so happy. 5 minutes later, they found them all dead. And so they found them all dead. So that's the key words. They found them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to this
aspect. It amazes me how many people can actually give so much credence to what she says. I found, like I said, it's my own personal opinion, but personally, myself.
I said the moon, you know, she had the moon Saturn square. And the moon Saturn square indicates people who never show their smiling. If you look at her face, she hardly ever smiles. Complete strike. That's the moon Saturn, which also indicates that you do not remember your dreams and you have no access to the subconscious. How can you be psychic without any access to the subconscious?
Mm.
Because a good psychic will only read your mind, for example, what you already know. Cannot go beyond that. You always know much more than anybody in the world. Every cell of your body knows. It's just to access that information. So that's why, see, in astrology, we are not bothered by if somebody feels negative or anything. We go right past that whole theme. It's like you're seeing the sun behind the dark clouds. With a true psychic, if you're seeing the dark clouds, they'll also see the dark clouds. They cannot see beyond. And but in astrology, we are not inhibited by that at all. It doesn't matter to us whether a person, we are not looking for their feedback at all, what they say. Because like 90% of our clients have blind charts. I've never even seen them.
Yeah.
You know, we do their charts based on their planets and all that. Then, of course, there's a tremendous amount of research involved, as you know. We see people who are artists, who are musicians, what kind of music, what kind of art. If it's a sport, what kind of sport? Martial arts and wrestling are two completely different. One requires endurance, one requires sudden burst of energy. All that part is in the chart. And that's why a natal report, that will give a complete evaluation of the best potential of people and what their mission is in life. And the 12-month forecast, of course, will lay out a whole like a map. Exactly,
yeah.
And it really, really works. Like, you know, one of my clients says, you know, almost every week she keeps winning with that Mars-Jupiter aspect. It's not that we're encouraging people to gamble, but there are definite aspects of Mars-Jupiter. In her case, I told her, you know, from last a few years, we've been working with her thing, and I said, with Uranus coming in the fifth house, along with other aspects, she's going to be having a windfall very soon. About five, 6 weeks ago, Uranus came in the fifth house, and it's continuously, you've been winning.
Yes,
like
that's
a sudden luck aspect, like a windfall theme.
And you know what's
interesting, Michael? You know, we started a VIP club because one of my clients, who was very much into horses, she was a true gambler, actually. Like, she used to win $20,000 in a race, and she'd buy a $25,000 horse, for example. So we started, I gave her, and I knew there must have been some aspect between Jupiter and Uranus, which I could not see in the chart. When I did this complete evaluation, I found there was definitely, certain, there were 2 degrees where both Uranus and Jupiter got touched off. And I gave her those dates, and she started winning so big, she's in Kentucky now breeding.
No kidding.
Yeah, she used to live in Windsor.
That's how we started. The one VIP client of ours that you're saying, I know she's had a, like you said, the moon going into Uranus there in her fifth house.
And 7 jackpots, can you believe it, in 2 hours? Precisely the time that we had given her.
Exactly.
It's going to be, we've never publicized or something, but it's there.
Yeah, the accuracy is unbelievable.
Yeah, and it really, really works. There's something definite to it, how we are in synchronicity with these cosmic laws. You're in a parking lot at 1 o'clock in the morning. If you don't look behind and you suddenly reverse, you'll surely you'll bang in somebody who's coming up at that time. A truck was putting just at that time.
Yeah.
It's almost like a real clockwork, it seems.
Right.
The same thing for positive things as well.
Yeah.
That you went at a certain time, you had a real luck aspect. If you had gone 5 minutes earlier, you wouldn't have had that opportunity, but 5 minutes later that you went, for example, just that time, the winning ticket was there and you took that one.
Well,
so
that's
the whole thing is...
That's why there's that expression, well, you're at the right place at the right time. I mean...
Absolutely.
That has so much profound meaning to it. You have to be at the
yes,
right place at the right
yeah.
time.
Now, some people are intuitive enough to know when that trend starts,
yeah.
when they can feel that pulse, as Alexander Dumas had said, and some people just let it pass.
But I feel that you almost
have to use your free choice even for positive things, especially for positive things. The negative things just happen. You're supposed to have an accident, for example, and if you don't do anything about it, you will. For example, you went to do some yoga or something, you started doing some weird poses that for too long, you didn't stretch enough, or suddenly you hurt your back, for example, or the kneecap, whatever, for example. That's much you had a sudden theme. But
right.
if you know beforehand that you are accident prone,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't make
you
paranoid. It just makes you more careful, that's all.
Yeah, be preventive. But this is why, like I said, it's very good to start with right from the natal chart, when a child is born. This way you'll know whether that child is going to need to study in school, they're going to need to focus hard, or if it's just going to come easy for them. And if you
that's
know
right.
it's someone who's
And it's important,
learning.
You know, how to motivate a child. And that's why I want to write this my special, the children's report that we're doing for the parents' guidance. That, for example, if a child has planets in Leo, then appeal to the ego. That, you know, then you make them feel that you're proud of their accomplishment. Whatever
right.
they did, that they did to the best of their ability. And, that if it's some Scorpio planets, you appeal to their sense of power. If you have Sagittarius planets, you appeal to this divine truth. You know, for example, it's very important to understand, like people think, oh yeah, this person's always lying. But some people, when they have Leo planets or Aries planets or Sagittarius planets, they don't lie. They just exaggerate or they dramatize the truth. That's why they're fantastic orators.
Right.
And they do it not to destroy the truth, but to clarify a point. And it's
so
important to acknowledge what they're saying first.
Mm-hmm. So how would you explain something like somebody who's always lucky? Like I know there's people out there that for example, there are people who buy lottery tickets faithfully and play the lotteries weekly
yeah.
and they don't win. And then there's people who buy sporadically or every once in a while and they always win. So is it...
Well, there are two things I was thinking. You know, this client of mine who keeps on winning and her mother hardly ever wins.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting. And one day, for example, when she was supposed to have these red days and she lost. And I asked her, I said, why did you go? You know it was red. She said, well, my mother insisted she really wanted to go.
She knew herself that it wasn't good, but she wanted to
That's right.
keep her mother company. And no,
That's
but
right,
I know,
exactly,
like I said,
yeah.
personally myself, I know people that, I had the one friend that won $1 million in a scratch ticket, and even before winning that, he had won consistently on, he played pro line, you know, this pro line.
See, that is important, because that luck aspect continues, like if there's Uranus aspect or Jupiter.
Right.
There's a moon aspect, and two, three things align, for example, you'll just have, temporary luck. But if Uranus is touching it off, then you have it for a long time, or Jupiter
yeah.
touching it off, for example. That becomes important.
I'm going to have to get his date of birth for sure, because we'll definitely have to look at this for our research part, that this guy would be a perfect candidate.
That'd be excellent, yes.
He's won the million on a scratch, he's won money in these pro line, he's won money at the casino, he's just a lucky person, even in business. He's in business, and
really?
It doesn't matter what business he owns, he does extremely well.
But you know, I always thought maybe these people use their free choice a lot longer. For example, if you only buy just once in a while, as opposed
right.
to buying continuously, like people tend to do more gambling as well, taking more chances, so the odds are more. But even if the odds are more, there are many people are doing that, but only these people are lucky. So there's definitely something to do with luck aspect, I'm sure.
And I'm sure, like you say, a lot of intuition. There's a lot of intuition as well. People feel and they sense. They say, I don't know, I feel lucky today. I feel lucky. And then they go and they win, whether it's a scratch ticket or they go to the casino or whatever the case, they will win. So there is some intuitiveness that people can sense on their own, the positions of the planets.
they may not know it. Yes. They don't account for it that way. They don't say, well, the moon must be in my eighth house today or whatever. But they do feel inside.
We're starting a complete thing, the natal chart, the whole report, and also even on a calendar basis, for example, you can see and who are the other people who did that. So a complete, like a road plan for career, for love matters, for relationships. We match the relationship to the best person, for example. All that part, you know, we're going to take into consideration, and matchmaking things almost over, as you know, so you'll be able to see instantly to evaluate two people. Today, for example, I got a call from Bombay, actually, one of the Bollywood directors' son, from his thing. The nicest chart you've seen, that's like your sister, the one who's like Florence Nightingale, as I said.
Diana. Yes, yes.
Diana, that's right, yeah.
Diana,
really,
yeah.
Really caring type of person. And he was married to this person who had Venus in Gemini. He has Venus in Virgo. She has Venus in Gemini, aspect of Saturn. It's totally inhibited. And the only thing she probably did like was his voice, because he's a very nice voice. And
right.
Because Venus in Gemini, they're not passionate people. They really like the communication aspect. Like Shakespeare was born Venus in Gemini, for example. And she had Mercury in Leo. He had Mercury in Scorpio. And I told him, the first thing is that he has this Mercury in Scorpio, which is, they communicate, they don't really talk. Whereas Mercury in Leo, after to Mars, they can exaggerate, they can dramatize and all that, but they need the attention.
Right.
And so it's such a mismatch. And luckily, they don't have any children. And the minute I saw the chart, I said, you're going through a major testing period in relationships and all. And his sister is also quite a famous actress, actually, and I could see it instantly, like what the problem was. So that's why we want to give these four colors, as you know, to color code it. So without even knowing astrology, you can be able to understand it very easily. So the fire are all red, that Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius, and they get along really well with the air signs, which are Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius. And we would make them blue, like sky.
Right.
And the earth signs, which are Taurus, Capricorn, and Virgo, get along well with the water signs, which are Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces. And just with this this compatibility, but you cannot really say that the compatibility is 80%, because there are four or five different themes that we're talking about. One is love matters. One is, two people might really be mad in love with each other, but they do not communicate with each other at all.
Right.
Maybe that's why they love each other. But so the Mercury would indicate how they communicate, and again, the same those colors would apply to that.
Right.
And very soon, I guarantee you, we'll be able to instantly understand that how much of fire, how much of water, just those four things:
mm-hmm.
Earth, air, water, and fire. That's it.
Yeah.
And the combinations become important. So fire and air is a natural PR person. Bill Clinton, he has quite a few planets in air signs,
sure.
And quite a few planets in fire signs.
Right.
So air gives the communication skills, the fire signs give the charisma, the confidence, and enthusiasm. When you have water and earth, that's the most nurturing combination. Like in your own case, you have Venus and Taurus, like Princess Diana, and Mercury, the son of Cancer, also like her, and Nicole Kidman. So this is a water sign. Ann Landers was born like you. Did you know that, Michael?
Yeah.
You know Ann Landers? Yeah,
I've
yes,
called that myself many times.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So that's Mercury in Cancer. And but the water and the earth makes it a very nurturing combination. And you're constantly helping people, and you're very patient with them. Actually, you in fact are much more patient than me. It's not that I'm not a patient. I just don't really believe people when they say, oh, I've had such a tough life. These people are so clueless about it, especially they live in Canada. They've never, like this, I was giving a lecture, and this lady, she said, well, I was born in Burlington. I'm very proud to be a Canadian. I said, I'm sure you are. I've lived in Canada more than anywhere in the world. And but I said, tell me something. Where were you born? She said, Burlington. I said, where did you go to school? She said, Burlington. I said, where do you go to college and all that? She said, Burlington. I said, where do you work? She said, Burlington. I said, where do you live? Burlington. We're still laughing. I said, you've never been outside. Have you ever been outside at all? She had never been outside. I said, you're very lucky that you don't have to go anywhere. But you know that a library, for example, you say you don't want to use internet or all these things, it'd be expensive. It's all free. You can go to any library. You can borrow books all for free. I mean, there's so many things we just take for granted here.
Yeah,
so I think most Canadians, you know, they should go to a place like Bengal or somewhere, for example. Live there for 3 months at government's expense, and they'll be so grateful to come back.
I always, you know, it's funny you say that, because I always used to say, when people used to complain to me, I used to tell them always, go take 6 months of the year and pick a third world country, any one of them. Go live there for 6 months and then come back and start complaining to me. I said, I guarantee you, you won't come back with any complaints. Complain about food, complain about taxes, no complaints at all.
But you know, Michael, it's really interesting. When you go to third world countries, you also see tremendous amount of love between each other also.
Enormous.
Like, for example, I was in Bengal a long time ago, and because when I graduated, you know, as an engineer, I was only like 18 and a half. My first project, I went there, from New York, we represent this agency, and we had our own companies. I went to Bengal for about like 8 months. In those 8 months, I can still read, write, and speak Bengali. Can you believe it?
Really?
Because I cared for people. I mean, if you want to. Anyways, I got a bit sidetracked. I'm just trying to remember
in Bengal, when you were in Bengal.
But we were talking about discussing some aspect, because it's three, four different aspects.
Yeah, but people not care. People have never been outside of their box, for example, and they just complain about things, and they've never traveled outside of where they've lived or were raised or went to school, and we're saying how it
is a specific thing I totally
forgot. Third world country. we're talking about how it is funny. It's funny in a way, and it's sad because there's so many people.
Oh yes,
there.
Now I remember, Michael. I was they had these ferries, actually, and I was going there, and I was really hungry, and just before that, I got this, it's like a hamburger thing. I was just about to take the first bite, and I saw this this beggar, and he didn't ask anything, but he was just his mouth was really dry and all that. I just couldn't, and I gave the burger to him. As soon as he got it, he divided it in half, and he went a little bit there to his other person, who also was other beggar, just to share it, gave him half.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, my God, that is generosity.
Yeah.
As opposed to, people have...
There's somebody who needs
Whole thing. Like, I gave it to him, not even taking a first bite.
Yeah.
I mean, he divided it in half and gave it to his friend,
No, but I know...
Other than that part, you really learn in the third world countries, you have a lot of survival. Like, if they live in, there are six people living in the same room, they don't have the luxury of having their own room, they're not isolated. So, but when they do go outside, and they always support the bike, here wouldn't be like that at all. Like, we get so carried by our own thing, we don't even know who our neighbor is.
Yeah. So
there are pros and cons of both aspects. That's why for their spirituality, I find the East is fantastic.
Yeah.
Of course, unfortunately, some countries are so poor that they don't have any of the time, but the spirituality, like, for example, bamboo flute. I remember in the evenings, I used to play the bamboo flute there, and the whole lake, on this Ganga theme there, Bhuri Ganga they call that, they had hundreds of all these people just playing the flute. It was so nice with the sunset. All these poor people, all these fishermen and all that, playing flute. And I just used to play flute. So everybody just played flute all around this ocean that you hear that. It was such a beautiful aspect. Just simple delights,
But you see, you can't put a price on things like that come from the heart, Like when you
That's
see,
right. Like for example, this lady, I was telling her, regardless of how poor you are, whatever, for example, all you have to just look up and look at Jupiter, how beautiful it is, or the moon, for example, whatever. Most people don't even realize that Jupiter is right up there, and they're they're so caught up with the daily grind of life, unfortunately, rather than, like in our cases, 90% of our resources are going into how we can make a difference in life for the masses, which is, I think, so important, that aspect. That's why we don't have time for our own worries or feel any stress or anything. That's why people come to me, and I tell them, I said, like this lady, she was saying to me, she's also an actress and a singer, actually, in Bombay, and she was saying, that I'm trying to counsel him and help him. Actually, I said, well, the best thing you could do is to play helpless so he saves you. Because he's got Venus in Virgo. He likes to save people. Doesn't like to be saved, actually. Mm. And he caught it right away. He started laughing. He said, you're absolutely right. I love the underdog. I love to help the underdog.
Yeah, but you know what? It's one thing I do like and compliment you on what you do is some people see it, don't see it the right way, and I'll put them clear. So for those who are listening, you have a tendency where you don't feel sympathy for people, especially when you know that they don't, like, people cause a lot of their own suffering.
I don't have pity for them. I definitely have empathy for them. I can understand.
People that you see that they cause their own misery or their own problems, you don't have the sympathy for them because you know that if they were to do the right thing, which is to follow their path and to, you know, to understand their...
It's not the lack of sympathy. It's more that I definitely don't feel sorry for them, and I try to make... But the only thing I find that, you know, I become a bit more tolerant in this aspect, that I do find that maybe God has given me a certain temperament, that I am so optimistic. What if you were born with a really negative attitude towards life? Like, if some people are born with the moon Saturn aspect, you see, which is real, like a pathological depression.
Right.
And when they come out, they're always feeling very pessimistic. It's so interesting. And they can cause it, and you can learn the secret and all these things as much as you want. But that's why I really thank God that we have, and I think personally, that's why, regardless whether a person is born positive or negative, as long as you're deeply, deeply spiritual, you will be optimistic. Because you'll never deny the miracles of God.
Absolutely.
And that's the one aspect I find in people who are very deeply spiritual. They always have hope, which is one of the best medicines. Unfortunately, in the West, it's the first thing the doctors say, oh, you've got 3 months. I mean, to get the hope. That's the worst thing they could do, actually. Because our body manufactures every endorphin and every drug that you can think of, actually, to heal itself.
You know,
but it needs hope.
Yeah, hope is definitely part of it, and the positive, I'm a firm believer in the positive thinking and positive, surrounding yourself in positive.
And hope comes from having faith.
Right.
And faith means not denying the miracles of God.
Exactly.
And the thing is, see, like people who are, some people are atheists and all that, they say, I can't imagine, for example, when you see the universe and you see the intelligence behind it, it's absolutely so amazing. Like all these galaxies, they didn't have to be even the sunset didn't have to be so colorful.
Mm-hmm.
So that created that intelligence behind us, like we are talking right now, and there's a certain intelligence with us as we are talking to each other. We can understand each other. So that intelligence has created us. It cannot be inanimate. It has to be much, much more intelligent than us, and has to be an artistic entity there, a musical entity. It wouldn't have given us a beautiful voice. If it was, like, thought of every aspect, every little detail. And that is what astrology does for me. As you know, it's a spiritual experience. When I look at the chart, I fall in love with the chart, and I see the actual person, and it's such a beautiful, exhilarating experience that you're actually seeing the person in flesh and blood, and with all the talents, with the beautiful greenish hazel eyes and whatever, you know. It's such a beautiful aspect. It brings me much closer to God, I find. Like, many people ask me, I said, do you believe in God? I said, why would you ask that? Such a question. If I didn't know, how would I? I mean, astrology brings me much, much closer to God. But not because it's fatalistic, but because it is, it actually gives you the hope.
Yeah.
That once, for example, there's a Mars-Saturn aspect and you fall down, you hurt your knee. Second time happens, the same thing happens again and again. At some point, you learn. The next time, when you can see it's happening, you do not do any dangerous activity at that time.
To avoid it. But just listening to your last 2 minutes reminded me of one of my favorite orators, who was Dedot. What was his name?
Ali Gibran? The one?
Dedot.
Ali Gibran, you said?
Hello.
I'm sorry, you couldn't hear.
No, I said that just listening to you the last 2 minutes reminded me of one of my most favorite orators, who was Dedot. What was his name? Ahmed Didat.
Didat. Yes. Ahmed Didat.
I could listen to him for 12 hours and not get.
He was such an expert in Bible. And according to you, said, don't misquote Bible.
Bob, Bible and life in itself, in faith, in belief, and nobody said it better than him. You know, and I love that they had that debate with that one Catholic guy there, whatever that was. Anyway.
Oh,
you were talking, the way you were talking the last 2 minutes reminded me of him, and it's so true that people need to have faith in themselves and in, obviously in the superior and our God. But
yeah.
Anyway, I think we're getting close to our timeline here.
That's
so
it. You can give my address and telephone number also, Michael.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going
to call
us. Yeah, we'll close out with that. So for people who want to contact Hassan, you can contact him by email at stargaze@astrotrends.net or by telephone for telephone consultation at 416-497-9000. And we're back on the air on this coming Sunday, which will be on BBS station at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific time. And on that note, I think we'll say good night. We wish all of you well, and we'll hope to have you back listening to us either on Sunday or again next 2 weeks, Thursday.
Yes, thank you very much, Michael.
Thanks, Hassan.
Great, thanks.
Good night.